Never a doubt. This is the attitude that you want to have, unshakable, unwavering, and never a doubt. That's what it is, and that's what God expects you to do. You'll have some people say, well, I'm a believer, but... No, you're not. No, uh-uh. Don't give me that. If you doubt, then Father, He really won't deal with you yet. I'm just kind of letting you sink your own boat. Okay. You can't have any doubts. His Word is true. His Word is loyal. It's faithful. He always comes through. But I have trouble. So what? He knows you can cut it. He knows you can wade through, that you're going to handle it. I mean, after all, we've got some stiff work coming up pretty soon with the false Messiah. He doesn't need a bunch of wimps. He wants people that can cut it. So, never a doubt. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the great book of James in the New Testament. James chapter 1. And James chapter 1 reads, always rightly divide the Word of God. Pay attention to who it's written to, what it's about, and what time sequence. And the Bible will mean a great deal more to you. So James chapter 1, verse 1, and it reads, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he sold out to. That's who he was with. That's who he was for. To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Naturally, this is the sheep of Israel, whereby he said this is written specially. It goes to everybody because these are a blessing to everyone. But there's duties to be accomplished, and he wants their attention especially. As they wandered over the world, he knew he would gather them back, but he utilizes them as well as he does all people. But that's rightly dividing the word. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. When trials come along, you know what? That's Satan trying to get your number. Don't let him have it, okay? Consider it joy. It means God's protecting you. It means God trusts you. He knows you can cut it. And you know something? Always remember when these trials come along, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, because that's God's promise to you. It may really look bad, and it may seem deep, but as it is written there, I will never tempt you over or try you over what you're able to handle. He knows you can. But the main thing, and what he says is, hey, don't think you're being picked on. It happens to everybody. Okay, there's nothing uncommon happening to you that doesn't happen to other people. In some place, time, or season. But he says, the main thing, I will always give you a way out. Do you doubt that? Don't. Because he always will. You can worry, you can get uptight, you can pray, you can faunch at the bit and everything. And when you're praying to him, it's going to be over and you're going to think, oh, that wasn't so bad. Instead of saying, that wasn't so bad, say, thank you, Father. Okay. Because he showed you a way through. He led you through. He handled it. So when those trials come along, it means, hey, he knows you can cut it. You're can-do type people. Okay. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It'll make a patient individual out of you. And you know something? That's the hardest thing in the world. Women can come by it pretty easy, but men, it is just bad. You know, we have a hard time getting there. It's hard to have patience. And when you do, you mature. You really have to be able to trust God, to do what you can do and let God handle the rest. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work. That means a complete work, a mature work. That you may be perfect and entire, that you may be complete and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, you're losing nothing and you have it. Well, you won't have everything in the world, but you'll know you have what you can work with. because you have the patience to know you're going wherever you want to go. You can do whatever you want to do. We're very blessed that we live in a nation where we have freedom of speech and freedom of religion. And that freedom gives us the opportunity to go, to be whatever you want to be. If you have the talent, and if you don't have the talent, pray for it. Work at it. You know, it is amazing what work will accomplish. Boy, it can really put you through. But God hates sluggards, that's lazy people. He really does. He just really dislikes lazy people. He likes can-do, never a doubt, unshakable, unwavering people to follow Him. He can count on you then. He can depend on you. But the main thing for you to understand is you can depend on Him, okay? Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He sent you this book, this love letter, to encourage you, to advise you. I don't know, have you read it lately? You know, it gives you strength, and it gives His promises, and if you don't claim them, you're out. Okay. You have to claim them. They're yours for the taking, but you have to talk to Him and claim it. And give it to all men liberally. He doesn't hold back. And unbraideth not. He doesn't chide at you. He doesn't pick at you. And it shall be given him. All you have to do is, when you've done your best to obtain wisdom, let's say it's a chapter out of God's Word. It's just not coming through for you. You just can't seem to comprehend it. It just doesn't bring a clear understanding. Then what are you going to do? Ask Him. I mean, in deep prayer, ask Him to explain it to you, to give you that understanding, and bam, it will come into your mind, and you'll wonder, why in the world could I have seen that? He loves you, and He assists you, and He helps you. You're looking at somebody that's experienced that a lot of times, and that understanding that He gives is just a precious thing. It's the operation of His Spirit, which is to say, the Holy Spirit, okay? So when you lack wisdom, ask Him. Go to His Word even. You'll find it. It applies to everything. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith. You know what that means? Don't be a doubter. You're not going to waste His time, I guarantee you. But if you don't have faith that He's going to hear you, what? But let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. That's our word. Nothing wavering. Never doubt. For he that wavereth, he that doubts, is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. That's like an old white cap that comes up there and it looks, whoa, it's just so white, and then it's just gone. Never amounts to a hill of beans. Okay. Just a nothing and a nobody. Okay. So, never ask wavering or doubting, or you're wasting your time. You're not a believer. Well, I kind of believe, but that doesn't cut it, friend. You know, He paid an awesome price for you. He sent His Son that died on the cross. He died on the cross for you. That on believing on Him, you could have eternal life. He doesn't like to mess around with halfway people. You either are with Him, never a doubt, knowing He's there. Well, He doesn't answer me. Well, don't you have any patience? He knows when it's the right time for you, and you should love Him to know enough to trust Him for that. Don't worry, He heard you. And when it's time, He will respond to it in one way or the other. Never ask anything of God wavering. That means doubting. Never be a doubter. He's your Father. He's the creator of your soul. You have earthly parents, but He's the one that created the very soul that dwells within this flesh body. He's family. So if you don't trust family, you're in a heap of hurt. just a big heap of hurt. That's sad. That is real sad. Verse 7. For let not a man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. If he's doubting and if he's wavering, don't ever think you're going to receive anything from the Lord. I guarantee you, you're not. Okay. But well, whose fault is that? It's yours. Okay. That's pretty simple to figure, isn't it? If you doubt him, then he doesn't want anything to do with you. Okay? That is, he would like to have you, but you're the one that must make that step. You're the one that he paid the price for. You've got to step forward and say, I'm yours. Okay. I'm one. To serve him and mature and be complete within him. It's a lot better in life to operate under his blessings than without them. Verse 7, for let not a man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. I'm sorry, 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A man that doubts and thinks both ways, he's just never going anywhere. You know something? Your own family can't count on you then. Okay. And I mean, none of us are perfect, and we all slip up and everything, but usually, keep your word. It's important. It's important to your family. Keep that word and never doubt our Heavenly Father. Life is never a doubt to the Christian that hangs on to that truth. Go to chapter 3 of this same book. In chapter 3 is where it's saying, boy, man can tame horses and man can even tame mules. Man can tame creatures, but the tongue of a man that's an unbeliever is impossible to tame. It's a terrible thing, a tongue that is unlearned in God's Word and that is in the way of the world. And that this chapter 3 up to verse 9 is speaking of that. So let's pick it up with verse 9 without going through how impossible it is to tame a wicked tongue. And pick it up with verse 9. Therefore, bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men. That's to say, that are that way, which are made after the similitude of God. They may look nice. They may even carry good stories. They may even claim to be of God. And in their minds, they may think they are. But if they do not align with God's Word, if they waver on it, if they're doubters, they're not worth a hill of beans. Okay? They're worthless. And that's why God can say we can curse them, or God will. We don't have to. 10. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. You can judge a person by that. You know, you can't have sweetie pie, lovey-lovey, and then out of the same mouth comes what the person really feels like is not nice. Okay, that just can't happen. It can't be of God and be that way. Okay, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Of course not. It's either sweet or it's bitter. You can count on it. Why? Well, it's God's nature. Verse 12, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Question. Well, the answer is, of course not. Either a vine figs? No, absolutely not. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? It just doesn't happen. And if you're looking at somebody that their mouth runs like that, their tongue does, you can't count on them either. That's who it's talking about, okay? They're not true to their word. You can't trust their word. You know, men find lawyers and this, that, and the other, but if you give your word and don't keep it, you're worthless. Okay. If I give my name, you can hire all the lawyers you want to, and if I shake hands with you, it's better than anything those lawyers can put together. You're going to get what we agree to. And I'm going to stick with it. I was born and raised that way, right from God's Word. And that's the way it is, and that's the way it should be. And that's the value of a man or a woman, is can you trust their word? Okay. And again, nobody's perfect. Well, are you painting yourself as a perfect? No, I'm not perfect. But But if I give my word, I'm going to stick with it. Okay. Verse 13. Who is a wise man? You want to know? Listen. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. That's to say, that wisdom is going to come forth. It's not going to be bitter and sweet at the same time. It's going to be truth. Well, what is truth? It's God's word. And that's where it comes from. Verse 14. But if you have bitter envyings and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. Well, again, what's the truth? Well, it's the word. It's God. It's your Father. You can't have both. Well, there are times that I have righteous indignation. Righteous indignation is okay. You know, when you see things going bad in this world that certainly needs fixing, then nationally or personally, then that's okay. If it goes against God's teachings. But just plain old bitter envy and backbiting and gossip, don't deal in it. Don't have anything to do with it. Or God's blessings will slip away from you and you'll have a hard life. A very hard life. 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. In other words, wisdom to street smarts to take advantage of people, to take advantage of your brother. It's devilish, okay, to use family in a bad way, okay. It did not come from above. It didn't come from God's word. It didn't come from the letter that he's written you. 16, and where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. There's commotion. You can count on it. You're not going to, you know, you take a family, a marriage. If you have this, if you let Satan slip into your house and get the two of you like little children arguing over who opened the toothpaste right or wrong, and you get in a big knockdown drag out about it by mouth, by word, Satan's in the corner laughing his head off at you. They claim to be Christians. Watch them. They're fighting over, she messed up the biscuits. That's really serious, isn't it? You know, you just can't deal with that. You know, when two become one, then don't backbite each other, okay? But where you have that, there is confusion. Get rid of it, okay? 17, this is why we came here. But the wisdom that is from above, that's from your Father, is first pure. You can count on it. Then peaceable. It's gentle. And easy to be entreated. It brings happiness and joy. Full of mercy. That means unmerited favor. You don't deserve it all. And good fruits. Without partiality. This word in the Greek is the word we're talking about. It means without, means it doesn't, it's not particular, it's not wavering. It's not unstable. It isn't buttering up to somebody that's evil, because the rest of the sentence documents that, and without hypocrisy. Do you know what hypocrisy is? That means an actor. That's what the Greek word means. Is one that pretends to be a saint of God, maybe, you know. But he's play-acting. I mean, he is a fraud coming out the gate. And you better be able to spot that. I'll say again, where does the pure, true wisdom come from? From above. From our Heavenly Father. And if you're not wired into him to receive his blessings, then, hey, sail your boat right on, and if you go on the rocks, guess whose fault it is? You didn't ask his help. Okay? And boy, can lives end up on the rocks in this generation that we're coming into, the generation of the fig tree. It's real simple, real easy. And, you know, when you go with the street smart, it won't hurt you. Oh, then why do you look so beggarly? Okay. You look like you've been, how old are you, 19, and you look 50? I don't think so. Where's your teeth? You know, and you all know what I'm talking about here, druggies. Okay. In the Bible, that is what we have is sorcerers. The Greek word sorcerers is pharmacia. It means pharmacy, drugs. Okay. And God, he doesn't tolerate it. Okay. So you have to come from above to be blessed. And our Father does bless those that listen to Him, those that hear Him, those that never doubt, unwavering, that ask in faith, knowing He's your Father, and He hears you, and He's going to take care of you. A father always does, especially your father, because he loves you. And when you truly ask, He's going to hold you. Do you know something? Jesus taught it well when He said, if you've got 100 sheep and one goes astray, He's coming after you. Okay. He's going to come and pick you up when you don't waver, when you ask with faith, knowing He hears you. He loves you. Go with me to the book of Ephesians now. Book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Again, some of Paul's teaching. Again, I want to set the stage for the book of Ephesians. Why does it say in chapter 1, verse 4, I chose you before the foundations of the world? Because there was an earth age before this one, and Satan rebelled. And some people, some souls really fought against him. Some souls really stood against him. Therefore, they were chosen before the foundations of this age. And so it is. And that's who this is written to. And you have to understand that to understand the mystery we're about to go into. Chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause, of the book of Ephesians, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Why was he in prison? I mean, he held out his shackles. He was handcuffed. For doing what? What was he in prison for? Verse 2, if you have heard of the dispensation, that's to say the gift of teaching in the Greek tongue, of the grace of God which is given me to you. I'm in here and I'm wearing these cuffs because I've been preaching Jesus Christ. Okay. Verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words. Do you know what that mystery is? If you don't, you're in trouble. Okay. Because it's a very simple thing, and you live in the generation of the fig tree, and it's about to happen. I don't know. Are you familiar with it? Verse 4. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You may. That's why I went back to verse 4 of chapter 1. You were chosen before the foundations of the earth because you were with him. You stood against Satan then, and he can trust you. He knows you will again. He can use you because you're a can-do type person. Never a doubt. Okay. Verse 5. Which in other ages... Oh, my, what does that mean? Well, just what I said, the first earth age. Which in other eons of time was not made known unto the sons of man, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. By the Holy Spirit, if you read it, if you know and understand what God is doing here, that he is going at the sixth trump to cast Satan out on this earth as Messiah. And people that are a little stupid in the Word, guess what? They're going to think it is Messiah. Because he's supernatural and he's beautiful. Well, where did you read that in the Bible? It's right here. We'll be there before long. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That's the good news. 7, whereof I was made a minister. I was picked out. He was zealous. He was against the church. He was really pretty ornery. And that same zeal, he turned to serving Christ. According to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power, the power of what? The Holy Spirit in believing. Never a doubt. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. Why? Because he persecuted the church. Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, what is there for you, for everyone, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ, that spirit that was there. When you read in Genesis chapter 1 and it says, it's a polysyndon in the Hebrew tongue, and the word and, it means and light came upon the earth. It means, and God moved, the Spirit moved, the ruach in the Hebrew tongue, moved upon the waters and there was life, okay? Meaning Christ was there, in other words. To the intent, or for the reason, that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, that means up where God treads and angels tread, both good and bad, places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, that you might understand what happens in heaven as well as on earth, what's going to happen, according to the eternal purpose which is purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. From the very beginning, okay, well, what was purposed? Salvation, to save those that Satan led astray. And boy, is Satan working at it again. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence. That's boldness. That means never a doubt. With confidence by the faith of Him. In other words, we know. When you understand that mystery and the plan of God, you know that He's touched you. And you're a can-do type person. You have His blessings. And you can accept, like, well, I don't really quite understand that. Then ask Him. Don't beat around the bush. Ask Him. Do it in the privacy of your own home. Ask Him to give you clarity and see what happens if you work at it. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Don't look at these handcuffs and this imprisonment and faint about it. I know what's going on. And I willingly do it. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, not just on earth, but in heaven also, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Do you know that you're two people? You have your spirit body inside this flesh body. You want it strengthened? Then ask Him. It's that simple. With belief and with understanding, never a doubt, never wavering, and always stable. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That's in your mind, okay? That you being rooted and grounded in love. When you are rooted in that, do you know what a root takes place? It actually does in your mind, and Christ takes residence there. The Holy Spirit does. Because you are in Him and He is in you. And that knowledge and that wisdom is there if you do the work. A lot of people, they want this instant world. I want it now. Then go for it. Work at it. Work does wonderful things. Okay, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. You want to know what about the end? You can, if you want to look. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. It's yours for the taking, but you have to take it. Not unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, that you dream or even hope for. 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And the world is without end. Do you want eternal life, or do you want to go in a hole in the ground and let us cover you up and that's it? Okay. There's a beautiful place. World without end, and it means exactly that. That's what the mystery is. Now, we've come to this time where we strive to understand God's Word, and we know, as I forestated, that in the first chapter of this book, it says, I chose you before the foundations of the world. That word in the Greek is katabot. It means before the overthrow. That's why we're here. That rebellion took place, as it's written in the book of Revelation, and a third of God's children followed Satan. They loved him. I mean, he was taking over the mercy seat instead of protecting it as he was supposed to. And God's election stood against him. That's why God didn't choose them because they're the prettiest. I'm talking about God's elect. Those that know they have a purpose in life and they've known since they were a child there was more to God's Word than they'd been taught. That they would follow him. And in that first earth age, Katabo, when he rebelled, then when they stood against him, God knew, hey, I can trust them. They can cut it. They can handle it. They're not afraid of him. They know, and with me behind them, we have the victory. So therefore, he did choose before this particular age. This is why it's so important that you understand 2 Peter chapter 3, where it speaks of all three earth ages and heavenly ages. There's not more than one earth, but there are three earth ages. It's amazing when we go to universities to do documentaries at certain digs and so forth that some of the college students will say, well, this is thousands and thousands of years old. You're Christian, aren't you? Why are you here? Don't Christians say that the earth is only 6,000 years old? And I always tell them, well, misunderstanding Christians do. But if you understand the manuscripts, this earth is millions of years old. And these things happened in the first earth age, and it shakes them. They love it. It gets their attention. Because science and God's Word do not differ, basically. God's Word is always true. Science has to adjust itself as man learns. But here we have that katabol, that overthrow. And God chose that elect that would have ears to hear and eyes to see and to understand. Why was it important that you should never doubt? I'm going to document it for you. I want you to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And don't ever forget it. It's the reason you're not supposed to waver. It's the reason you're not supposed to doubt. You're all very familiar with it, but it's good to be reminded. This is Paul's second letter to those at Thessalonica. Okay. And when he wrote this letter, he knew that his first letter had deceived them, because he said, at the seventh trump, the last trump, a lot of you are going to gather back to Christ. And this started the rapture doctrine, so-called. And then he followed this letter up to straighten that out, because a lot of them were deceived, because they had work to do. They had to stand against the false Messiah. So he wrote this letter. Let's listen to it carefully. Chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Now what did that say? That I want to talk to you about Christ's return and how we get back together with him. We're not going to fly away like a butterfly. When you put the gospel armor on, there's no wings involved. No jetpacks. It's to stand against the fiery darts of Satan. Okay. He said, I want to talk to you about how that's going to take place And here's the mystery. You want to pay attention now. Verse 2. That you be not soon shaken in mind. That means don't ever doubt. Don't waver. Don't be willy-wally. Okay. Don't be shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Well, he's going to tell you what's happening so that you never mess up. So don't be shaken. When you cover Hebrews chapter 12, God makes it very clear. Once before I shook the earth, I'm going to shake both heaven and earth. And I'm shaking everything that isn't in a certain place. And do you know what that place is? It's the rock. That's to say Christ. When you're in Him and doing His work, you cannot be shaken. So that's why this whole lecture is so important. Never a doubt. Never shaken. Never wavering. So, why is he warning this? He said, I'm going to tell you exactly how it's going to be. You don't have to listen to man. This is the gospel. This is how it's going down. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That means the son of perdition is the son that perishes. That's apalia in the Greek. And it means, who is that? Well, there's only one entity that God has already sentenced the death sentence upon by name. And it's the son of perdition. It's his son that went bad. It's none other than Satan himself. You can read of that in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 18 and 19. He's sentenced to death. But there is no way that Christ is going to return to this earth until after. Don't let the first letter deceive you. Don't let some man mislead you. Don't let some preacher mislead you. It's not going to happen until after the son of perdition comes first. Okay? He comes at the sixth trump. If you can count from 1 to 7, you know you're pretty bright. That's a clear understanding of the book of Revelation. That chronologically puts in order the events. Well, what does he do? Well, he's going to tell you. Listen to it. Verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God? He's going to play God. And do you know something? Ignorant people that have not studied the Word of God will think it is. This is why Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 24 and Mark 13, don't let man deceive you that come in my name. That means claims to be Christian preachers, claims to be Christians, that play actors. It's going to happen the way he says it's going to. He's going to sit there claiming to be God, playing. But where? Where? Well, let's read it. Read it. You don't have to be in the dark about the mystery. In the temple of God, of course. Where is that? In Jerusalem. Remember you not when I was with you, I told you these things. And now now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Well, what do you know that he might be revealed in his time? Who is the he? This is a transitive verb in the Greek, and you have to refer back to verse 4. That's the subject. Well, who holds Satan? Well, you can read that in Revelation 12, verses 6 and 7. Michael does. He's going to boot him out, okay, onto this earth. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. This is that mystery Paul is talking about. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. That's the transitive verb. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. One of the offices of Satan. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Listen carefully. Last verse. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they shall believe a lie. You ignorant about God's word? Then you're going to believe that lie And I'm going to tell you what, it's going to do much harm. But when you have the Word of God, it's so simple a child can understand it. If you get rid of all the false teachings and stick to the Word of God chapter by chapter and verse by verse, you will always be blessed and He will always bless you. Heavenly Father, thank You, Father, for the privilege of serving You. Be with us. Let each one of these be a blessing to all they come in contact with. In Jesus' precious name, amen.